If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 36 to 40. John chapter 18, verse 36 to verse 40. I will read to you from the NIV version. John chapter 18, verse 36 to 40. I would like to welcome everyone, the newcomer. Today, we welcome you. And I hope that the Lord will speak to each of us here today. John chapter 18, verse 36 to 40. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" I want to tell you a very short story. This is a legend, actually. You may find it funny. According to a 19th century legend, the truth and the lie meet one day. The lie says to the truth, "It's a marvelous day today." The truth looks up to the skies and sighs, for the day was really beautiful. They spent a lot of time together, ultimately arriving beside a well. The lie tells the truth, "The water is very nice. Let us take a bath together." The truth, once again suspicious, tests the water and discovers that it indeed is very nice. So they undress and start bathing. Suddenly, the lie comes out of the water, puts on the clothes of the truth, and run away. The furious truth comes out of the well and runs everywhere to find the lie and to get her clothes back. The world, seeing the truth naked, turns its gaze away with contempt and rage. The poor truth returns to the well and disappears forever, hiding therein its shame. Since then, the lie travels around the world dressed in truth, dressed as the truth, satisfying the needs of society, because the world, in any case, harbors no wish at all to meet the naked truth. This is a world-famous painting called "The Truth Coming Out of the Well" by Jean-Léon Gérôme in 1896. When I read this, I find this really very true. That nobody likes naked truth, because truth sometimes puts us to shame. Everybody likes to hear lies dressed in truth. A lie, according to Winston Churchill, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. It talks about how fast a lie can travel. This morning, the title of my sharing is "The Truth." The truth. And from the passage we read, we can learn three things. Number one, the perception of truth. Number two, the power of truth. And number three, the person of truth. This passage records what may have been the last intimate personal conversation that Jesus had with another individual before he was crucified. In this exchange, between the Lord Jesus and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, we see two men with opposing agenda. Pilate comes across as one who is agitated at having been placed in the middle of what he sees as a religious dispute between Jews. His sarcasms and short answers reveal his irritation. Jesus, on the other hand, uses this conversation to reveal his true identity to Pilate. When asked if he is really the king of the Jews, Jesus pulls no punches but responds in the affirmative, "You say I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify the truth to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Then Jesus tells Pilate that his mission in coming to this world was that of going to the cross and dying to bear witness to the truth. At this point, Pilate asks a question born out of pure cynicism. He asked Jesus, "What is truth? What is truth?" This was a rhetorical question. Pilate did not really want an answer, and he did not wait around to receive one. In essence, he was telling Jesus, "What is true for you may not be true for me." So Pilate threw away a glorious opportunity to come to know the truth for himself. He looked truth in the face, refused to see it, and walked away forever lost. So I would like to take Pilate's question this morning and talk about it. I believe the Bible gives us enough information about truth so that we can answer this question for ourselves. What is truth? Everybody likes to believe in lies. Of the 222 verses in the Bible that contain the word truth, 22 or 10% are found in the gospel according to John. So let's take a look at my first point, the perception of truth. Pilate's question leads us to believe that he had no grasp of the truth. He does not understand the truth. Perhaps his thinking had been jaded by the empty philosophies of that day that said truth was unknowable and unattainable. Evidently, Pilate had come to believe what many in his day believed, that there is no absolute truth. We are living in a day when almost no one believes in absolute truth. We are living in the last days. In this situation, like what is happening now to the impeachment trial of our vice president, who is telling the truth? Who is not? The past controversy on the flood control projects? Who told the truth? Who is telling the truth? Much worse is the fact that a big percentage of even Christians think truth is relative. What do you mean by relative? That is, they believe that what is true for one person may not be true for another. What I believe to be true may not be true for you. It means what the Bible tells us to be true may not be true for you. People can believe what they will, but there is such a thing as absolute truth. It cannot be twisted. The truth that cannot be changed. So what is truth? The word from which it is translated means that which is accurate or true in any matter under consideration. It is the opposite of what of that which is feigned, fictitious, or false. That is truth. Let me give you an example. Suppose I tell you that there is a truth called the law of gravity. That is a truth. This law states that whatever goes up must come down. That is an absolute truth. Now, suppose you don't believe this truth as my truth. So you decide to test your theory, whether there is really gravity or not, whether all things that go up must come down. If that is true or not, try to jump from a building. Hindi madugayan, mabalaan mo ang kamatuoran. If I say, rocks are hard, tiga ang bato, basa ang tubig, green ang hilamon. Kung hindi ka magpati, if you don't believe in this absolute truth, masiling ka, para sa akon, ang bato, humok. Ang tubig, mala. Ang hilamon, asul. You may believe that in your heart, but you know it is not true. Because truth is something that is always true. There's a story ni Abraham Lincoln. Okay? Abraham Lincoln once used a very clear, very clever ploy or idea to teach some people about truth. Maybe some of you had heard about this. Okay? There were people coming to him and they were telling them about their suppositions rather than truth. After Lincoln heard about their logic, Lincoln asked them, how many legs would a sheep have if you called its tail a leg? Ilunggoan ko na lang. Pila ka bilog ang tiil sang karnero kung ang ikog niya tawgon mo tiil? Quick answer! Siling nila, 5A. Siling the president answer, no. Even if you call the tail legs, it is still a tail. Apat gyapon ang tiil sang karnero. So there is an absolute truth. I believe that black is black, white is white, up is up, down is down, left is left, right is right, in is in, and out is out. I personally believe absolute truth can be known, learned, and taught to others. There are some people who says truths are unknowable, as I said earlier. Truths are unknowable. No, we are wrong. Absolute truth can be known, learned, and taught to others. In fact, I am holding a copy of an absolute truth in my hand right now, the Word of God. If there is truth and truth can be known, then how can we learn the truth? I ask another question. If this is true, then why are we not learning from this truth? For those who are saved, it is a task made easier. If you have received Jesus into your life, the task of knowing the truth becomes easier because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus tells us 3 times in John's Gospel that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. John 14:17 tells us, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Another passage of scripture that tells us that the spirit of truth is John 15:26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And John 16:13 is especially important, which says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You know, sometimes I really wonder, because there are people who say they have the truth. But I can say that if you want the truth, this is the absolute truth. This is the absolute truth. The verses tell us that the Holy Ghost will reveal the things of God to us, teaching us the truth. Therefore, believers, you and I today, we are in a far better position to learn the truth because of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who lives within us. The world, on the other hand, has a spirit within them which blinds them to the truth. Now that is the difference between a believer in Christ and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Because we have the Spirit of truth living in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 tells us this. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That is about those of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14 also tells us, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. This accounts for the fact that they will consistently reject the truth and choose lies instead. This also demonstrates why they live their lives the way that they do and how they attempt to justify their sins before God and man, because the Spirit of truth is not in them. We cannot live in lies and expect to end in truth. Again, we cannot live in lies and expect to end in truth. I learned from my course last time, the BSMT, we are taught to navigate sa ship. And we know navigation is very important na siya. And then the degrees, the angle is very important. My teacher told me, like when you go to a certain place and then you navigate, okay, you take the ship and you are the captain. Just 1 degree off will lead you to 60 miles out. Yeah. Just 1 degree off. Okay, sa imong compass will lead you 60 miles away from your destination. Okay, depends on how far. See? So once we live in lies, expect that your end is very, very far. Expect that your end will never be the truth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Brothers and sisters, there is a price to pay for speaking the truth. And there is a bigger price for living a lie. We always pay the price for speaking the truth. The apostles were beaten. They were killed. That was the price they paid for spreading the truth. But if you believe in lie, you will face a bigger consequence. and that is hell. As we said, all liars go to hell. The Bible tells us, liars, the hell is prepared for all liars. So when you believe in lies, you will live also in lies, and you will end in destruction. There is such a thing as truth, regardless of what society says about it. This truth can be perceived, and it can be known. This truth can be translated into a clear, meaningful experience. So we have to understand the truth, because we can understand the truth. We need the Holy Spirit to make us understand the truth. And we thank God that God does not demand from us to know the truth. God did not just demand from us to know the truth, but He also sent somebody to help us know the truth. And that is the Holy Spirit. So when we have the Holy Spirit also, we can discern the truth from the lies. Second point, the power of truth. When we live in truth, there is power. Okay? Truth, when it is perceived, touches the hearts of God's elect and draws them to Him. John chapter 3 verse 21 tells us, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." When we come to God and embrace the truth, we can and will experience its power in our lives. What is the power of truth? When we live in truth, there is power. So what is that power in truth? Number one, living in the truth has the power to liberate. If you want to be free, live in truth. John 8:32 tells us, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When you believe the lie, yes, you may feel free for the moment, but later on, truth will be exposed. You know, during the impeachment case, or even the flood control project case, I'm still waiting that in the end, truth will come out. But we are now living in the last days. I don't know if the real truth will really come out. But for us, believers, let us not be involved in dishonest agreements. Let us not. Because we have the God of truth. And when the God of truth lives in us, we shouldn't be living and dealing with lies. When Jesus said this, He was telling His hearers that the truth had the power to deliver them from their bondage to sin and the law. It would literally set them free. The truth will really set you free. You know, sometimes we are so afraid to tell the truth. Kinahadlok kita sa consequence ba si ipunish kita, but I just want to tell you, when you tell the truth, you will even be more free. When you are truthful, you can sleep well at night. But when you lie, you cannot sleep. When you come to know the truth, you come to know something that sets the captives free, opens blinded eyes, heals broken hearts, transforms shattered and ruined lives, and fills men with the love of God, the peace of God, and the joy of God. A person who lives by the truth fears no one. If you are honestly paying taxes to the government, you don't have to be afraid nga balikan ka sang gobyerno, because you know you are honest. You know you did what is right, what is righteous. Reality and honesty do not need to hide. They don't need to shake or defend themselves with deception. Real facts and actual truths withstand pressure, tests, and deep questions without breaking. Even in court, you know, you will know a person whether he is lying or not, because the person who lies will think of 20 more lies to cover his lies. How difficult it is to defend lies. But when you speak the truth, there is just only one truth. You don't have to shake. You don't have to cover anything because that is the truth. Kumbaga, bisan pabaliskaron, baliskaron ka, that is the truth. But when you are not telling the truth, you will try to find other 20 reasons just to cover the lies. There were four students. They came late to the school because they were driving. But they really came late to school without any reasons. Now, when they arrived at the school, they were seated, and there was a test. The teacher to test whether they told the truth or not. Okay, so now the question was, because the driver when he was asked why were you late, the driver said, "We got a flat tire," and all of them agreed. Yes, we got a flat tire. So the teacher asked them, "You sit apart. I give you a paper. You answer this question. Which tire was flat?" Because they were not telling the truth, everybody gave different answer. You see, when you are not telling the truth, when you are not truthful, you will try to cover that lie with another lie. And the lie that you try to cover, you will also find another lie to cover your second lie. Find another fourth lie to cover your third lie. Next, the power of truth. Okay, the truth has the power to not only to liberate or to set you free, but the truth has the power to separate. John 17:17 tells us, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." In this passage, Jesus is praying for his disciples and for us too. As he does, he asked the Father to sanctify them through thy truth. The word sanctify is so important, so let me remind this. Okay? Let me remind you with this. Sanctify means to render something holy, to dedicate or consecrate something to God. That is sanctify. Render something holy, to dedicate or consecrate something to God. God only accepts the pure. Okay? Jesus says that the truth of God has the power to cleanse us and make us more like our heavenly Father. I have heard that it is said, sin will either keep you from this book. Okay? Sin will either keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. When you commit sin, you will have no desire for this book. But when you love this book, you know this book, it will keep you from sin. That is a truth. When you yield yourself to the truth of God's word and walk as the Spirit directs you, you will find your life becoming cleaner and more pleasing to God. His truth sets us apart and cleans us up. Ephesians 5:6 tells us, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." And John 15:7 tells us, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Sometimes we ask amiss because we do not know the word of God. And thirdly, the truth has the power to invigorate. So the truth does not only have the power to liberate, it also has the power to separate and has the power to invigorate. John chapter 4 verse 24 tells us, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Here in this passage, Jesus tells the woman at the well that the truth will make you want to worship. When you know the truth, it will make you want to worship God. Sometimes you wonder why you don't know how to worship, because you don't know the truth. Real worship is us acknowledging Him to be our everything. That is real worship. And real worship arises out of a heart that had been saturated with His truth. And real worship comes about when the Holy Spirit takes the truth of God and makes it clear to us. So our worship even becomes better when we know the truth. If we do not understand the truth about who God is and what He has done, then our worship will be distorted or will be warped. We will have wrong worship. That's why Jesus told the woman at the well, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because the woman said, you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem at the temple, but we worship here, we worship in the mountains. But Jesus told him, you must know the truth. Because one day, a day will come that you will neither worship in Jerusalem or in this mountain. Because God is a spirit, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when we do not know that, we cannot accurately worship God. Until we know the truth about God, we cannot truly worship Him. There is nothing like the truth to put a fresh spark into our worship. That's why during the IWS Igniting Worship 2 seminar, our theme is Know God. You cannot worship what you do not know. Okay? You really have to know God. And God is a God of truth. There is no lie in Him. And my third and last point this morning is the person of truth. The person of truth. Since we need to know the truth, and truth is something that we can have in our lives. And since we know that there is power in truth, power to set us free, power to separate us from sin, and power to invigorate us to improve even our worship, we should know the person of truth. The Holy Spirit led John to write it plainly for us. Where is the truth? Where can we find the truth? Where can we find truth? Number one, the Scripture is truth. The Scripture is truth. Many of you say, are you sure that there are only 66 books in the Bible? 66 books were canonized, carefully canonized. Okay? There are, to be honest, there were other books written. Many of Jesus' disciples also wrote books. Thomas wrote books. Okay? And there are others who wrote books. But these 66 books are canonized because the theologians, the Bible scholars believe that Jesus always, like the Old Testament, why they choose the Old Testament? Because there was one time that we were taught about the book of Eli. Eli had a book, but it's not here. It's not here. Because why? The scholars only used the Old Testament scriptures, considered it as God's word, because Jesus quoted from those books. Jesus quoted scriptures. Like, for example, Isaiah. You read the book of Isaiah, and Jesus always quoted the book of Isaiah. He lived according to that book. So now, Where is the truth? The scripture is truth. John 17:17 again reminds us, your word is truth. Everything either stands or falls right here. Now, if the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, as it claims in 2 Timothy 3:16 that says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, then the Bible and the Bible alone is the final authority and standard for living for all of life. Not the opinions of men. Not the musing of great philosophers. You know, great philosophers, they also have their own words. Not the teachings of great religious leaders, but the Bible is the final word in all manners of life. The Word of God is even, or the Bible is even, above or beyond prophecies. There are people who prophesied over me, but I don't believe them totally. I only listened because I would rather based on the Bible kung ano ang ginsiling sa akon sang Diyos. This is our final authority. So people may have gone to you prophesying over you this, that. You check the Bible. Does the Word of God say that? Does the Bible tell you? When you read the Bible, the Word of God, you have a rhema in the Bible that tells you, this is you, this is you, that is you. You believe that over people's prophecy on you. If the Bible is wrong and cannot be believed, then our foundations are destroyed and we have no faith, we have no hope, and have no rules. Psalms 11:3 tells us, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is our foundation. Our family should be built based on this foundation. Our relationship should be built based on this foundation. Everything in our lives should be based on this foundation. If the Bible is a lie, then there is no absolute truth. You know, we have raised a generation that has been taught to doubt the truth of this book. We are a Catholic nation. We believe God. We believe God is a creator. But when then, during our elementary days, in our science subject, we were also taught on evolution. We were taught on evolution. And after learning about evolution, we don't actually consider those ages, but we look at the face of the people in the evolution. Okay? We have the Cro-Magnon. I already forgot about them. And then after the class, we will point at each other, you are the Cro-Magnon. You are this, you are that, ikaw na. And then we choose the ugliest face and point to our classmate, you are that, you are this. In school, we were taught, doesn't the RC believe in God? But why do we still teach that in our science? When a child sits in a classroom and hears that the earth is billions of years old, and that man evolved from a single celled organism over millions of years, the foundations have been destroyed. Because the Bible tells us God made the heaven and the earth. If God did not make man in his image, then it is not wrong to kill babies through abortion. If God did not create us in his image, it is not wrong to rape. It is not wrong to murder other people because we are all just animals. If man evolved, then there is no sin. There is no right and wrong. There are no absolutes. When we take the Ten Commandments and say that they are not relevant for us today, we have undermined the foundation. There is a joke which I learned from my Bible school, not this present, but the Bible school in EMS before. A pastor, this is only a joke, okay? A pastor was preaching on tithing. The pastor said, "You must pay your tithes." But every Sunday, when the pastor reminded the congregation of paying their tithes, one of the people in the congregation would answer, "Pastor, that is only in the Old Testament." So every Sunday, the pastor would say, "Pay your tithes." This man would always answer, "That is in the Old Testament." One day, the pastor got fed up. When he said, "That is in the Old Testament," the pastor took a bolo. Ginlagasan ni pastor. Sang kadalagan siya, sili niya, "Pastor, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill." Sabi sang pastor, "That is in the Old Testament." Being able to trust the Bible is so important. Today, my sermon is for us to really trust the Word of God. Because many times we are very, very fearful. And where do we get our strength and courage? It's from the Word of God. So it's so important to trust the Word of God. In the pages of this Word, we learn about God. About your Creator, about our Creator. From this Word, we learn about the creation of man. We learn about sin, salvation, good, evil. The family is included and many others. Even a blessing is included here. If that foundation is destroyed, then there is no basis for truth. And if there is no truth, then everybody is right and nobody is wrong. If there is no truth, we will all be right and nobody will be wrong. That's what happened to the Old Testament in the book of Judges. Everybody will be doing what is right in their own eyes. The Bible is the Word of God. It is inspired. It is truth. Without any admixture of error, it can be believed, for it is forever settled in glory. Isaiah 48 tells us, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." Psalms 119:89, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." So where is truth? The scripture is truth. And secondly, where is truth? The Savior is truth. Jesus is truth. John 14:6 tells us, "Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus plainly calls attention to the fact that he and he alone is the real truth, is the real deal. Jesus was and is the embodiment of truth. John 1:14-17 tells us, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus believed in absolute truth. He believed in absolute truth so strongly that He came to this world, lived and died to bear witness to the truth. All of us here this morning, if we believe in truth, we will do everything for the truth. And I believe the group going for the essential commission, you really believe in the truth. And that's why you will go and do something about this truth. You will go and tell people who are living in lies to believe the truth. When we comprehend who Jesus is, what He has done for us, and what He is doing, it will leave us at His feet in humble, simple worship of Him. Jesus and Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus and Jesus alone is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus and Jesus alone is the truth. Jesus alone is the door unto the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Acts 4:12 tells us, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And lastly, 1 John 5:12 tells us, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It means when we don't have the truth, we don't have life. When we are not living in truth, we don't have life. The world does not like truth, but it is still true. The world does not like this truth, but it is still true, regardless of whether they like it or not. As I close, what is truth? It is the difference between night and day. It is the difference between in and out. It is the difference between black and white. It is the difference between saved and lost. What is truth? The Bible is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And if you accept those as truth in your life, you have a standard for living and a reason to life. But if you reject them as your standard, then you have no absolutes and can do as you please. You can do as you please because you don't believe the truth. However, it does not change the fact that the Bible is still true and Jesus is still the only way to God. So the things of God are true whether we accept them or not. But we thank God for the truth. This morning, I believe that there are people around talking and speaking something. And we must have heard them talking about us. Some of those they say about us is true. Some of them are not. And many times we are so affected, especially with the lies they are spreading about us, the lies they are spreading about you. But I just want to tell you this morning, okay? The Word of God is still true. What God has spoken to you is still true. Do not say, well, Pastor, I am praying, and suddenly God told me about this. When somebody tells you what to do, and you don't check the Word of God, the Bible tells us, test the Spirit. Test the Spirit. It may be an evil spirit or your spirit. This is the truth. Shall we all just bow down and our heads and just close our eyes?